familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com. Many times we hear about the amazing circumstances women and their partners have to go through to have a child. When a woman chooses to use in vitro fertilization, otherwise known as IVF, it is a life-changing decision. So after you've gone through the process of IVF, what happens next? How do you handle any challenges like breastfeeding? Today we're discussing how IVF impacts breastfeeding and what mamas can do to improve their experience. We're the Boob Group.
I use a breast pump.
I hand express milk for my baby.
I exclusively breastfeed.
I use a nipple shield.
I breastfed after a C-section.
I use a milk bank.
I breastfeed in public whenever I feel like it.
I pump at work.
I breastfeed with a cover.
I breastfeed twins.
I give my baby bottles.
I made my own supplemental nursing system.
I supplement with formula.
I talk to my baby while I breastfeed.
I'm breastfeeding as a survivor of sexual abuse.
When I have extra milk, I share it with other moms.
We are equal.
We are
the Boob Group.
Welcome to the Boob Group, everyone. We're here to support all moms wanting to provide breast milk to their babies and to respect the choices of moms who choose to feed their babies in other ways. I am Sunny Galt, and I am actually going to take a little bit of a break in this episode. I have some exciting news for you guys. So Priya, many of you guys may know Priya. She's been on our shows quite a bit. She's the founder of Mom's Pump Here, which is a great app that helps moms find great locations to breastfeed and pump for their babies. But she's a friend of the Boob Group. She's been on the show quite a bit, and I am handing over the hosting reins to Woo! Priya. Woohoo! This is Priya's first official. I think you've co-hosted before, Priya. I think yes. We had you kind of moderate an episode in the past. I think about celebrities and breastfeeding. I think mm-hmm. that was our topic a while back. And we just love what you bring to the show, and I'm so excited. Just for everyone out there, I'm still involved in the show. I'm still going to be producing the show and all that good stuff. But we're real excited to welcome Priya. So I'm going to turn the reins over to you, and you can finish the announcements and continue on with our conversation today.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Sunny. I'm so excited to be a part of this amazing podcast, The Boob Group. It's made such an impact in women's lives, and I'm so glad I can be a part of its future history. So as Sunny said, I'm your new host, Priya Navarn, and I'm also the co-founder of Mom's Pump Here, the nursery room locator app that helps women find places to breastfeed and breast pump around the world. And if you haven't yet, we encourage you to download the new Mommy Media Network app, which gives you easy access to all our episodes. You can also subscribe to our podcast through iTunes, so all our latest episodes download to your mobile device automatically. And if you're on iTunes, please leave us a review so other moms can learn about us. Let's meet the mamas joining our conversations today. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your family. Jeannie, why don't we start with you?
Hi, I'm Jeannie. I'm speaking to you from Queensland in Australia. I have three daughters, all of whom were conceived through IVF. They're not babies anymore. They're now aged 18, 14, and almost 11. But yes, I breastfed all of them, but I went through a lot of years of IVF before I had the first.
That's awesome. Thank you for being on, Jeannie. And Alicia?
Hi, I am Alicia Galnett. I'm from Cleveland, Tennessee. I have three children. My newest child, we got pregnant with him through IVF. And my other two children, I got pregnant with them naturally, and I was unsuccessful at breastfeeding. I think basically because of a lack of knowledge and support system. But I got remarried, and my husband adopted my other two children, and we wanted to have a child together as well. So after having my tubes tied after my second, our best option was to go through IVF. And we got pregnant with him last year. We had him a week before Christmas. And now I've been breastfeeding 8 months strong. And he's my only breastfed baby and baby that I've had through IVF.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So I am also a mom of three, in addition to being an entrepreneur. I'm a mom of three, and my children are all now older. My oldest is 14, and my daughter's 12. And my youngest son, Liam, is 8 years old, and he's actually the only one I've breastfed the longest. All three of them had breastfeeding and supplements and breast pumping and all that great stuff. But Liam, I breastfed for 3 years because I just couldn't let go. And one day, it was just time to make it happen. So I have a great relationship, great bond with all three of them. But breastfeeding was very important to our relationships as babies.
Sounds familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com.
So now it's time for the Boob Oops. And the Boob Oops is a great segment where we always have these really funny and quirky stories from our mamas that are submitted on social media. And this one comes from Gwen. So it was 3 days since the arrival of my son. We had been nursing well and had a good latch, suck, well, etc. Then came the milk. Why didn't I know what to do? Why won't he latch on? Will I ever be able to feed my baby again? These and many other deranged thoughts rattled through my brain at 4 a.m. as I paced the floor with a screaming, starving baby and two very swollen breasts. Then a midwife came, saw me bawling in utter desperation, and took my son while I stood under the shower. She showed me how to express just enough so my son could latch on and settled us both in bed, side by side, and instructed me how to feed him lying down. It's funny how something so simple nearly broke my resolve. The hormones didn't mix well with sleep deprivation, do they?
You know what I love about this Boob Oops is that she's right. Sometimes it's the smallest little thing that can kind of break us, and we're already sleep deprived and we're kind of going crazy, especially if it's your firstborn. You don't really know exactly what you're doing. And I just love the fact that the solution was so simple. I'm so glad that midwife was there for her just to say, Mama, take a break, go in the shower, just relax for a second, you know, hand express a little bit. You know what I mean? Because sometimes we just get so frustrated. We just need someone to just be like, you know, it's going to be okay. There's a really simple solution here, and I'm going to walk you through it. And it sounds like it worked for Gwen. So that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like she was in a hospital.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I don't think the midwife's hanging out at her house, right? I don't know. Maybe she is. Maybe she hired her. I don't know. Maybe it was a home birth. Yeah. So at least she had the help she needed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Today we're talking about IVF and the impact on breastfeeding. Our expert is Jeannie Elliott, and she's coming straight to us from Australia.
Down under.
And down under. And she is an amazing volunteer and counselor with the Australian Breastfeeding Association. Jeannie, I'm so glad you're on.
Hi.
And we have such a wide variety of mamas on today. Jeannie's from Australia, Sunny's in San Diego, I'm in New York, and Alicia's in Tennessee.
We're all over the place. all over the map. I love it.
Okay, so I'm using the term IVF, but for listeners who do not know what it stands for, an IVF is an in vitro fertilization. It's a process of fertilization by manually combining an egg and sperm in a laboratory dish and then transferring the embryo to the uterus. So, Jeannie, based on your experience, how has it been working with IVF moms?
I think there's a few issues that can be specific to IVF moms or moms who've needed help with fertility. In some cases, the actual reason for needing the IVF treatment may have an impact on whether they're going to produce enough milk. For example, women who suffer with PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome, in some cases have a delayed onset of lactation, so they may struggle to make enough milk in the first week or so after giving birth. But in a lot of cases, if they're given enough support, can eventually produce enough milk. On the other hand, I've spoken to a lot of mums with polycystic ovarian syndrome who have the opposite problem, who have a huge oversupply of milk in the first few weeks and struggle for that reason. So sometimes the hormonal reasons for the fertility problem that led to needing IVF can have an impact on the production of milk.
Wow. Alicia, did this happen to you?
Actually, from the beginning, I've had an oversupply, and I've regularly used the block feeding method when nursing. Instead of giving him both breasts, I just give him one at a time. And I have a heavy letdown, too. And so that's been, you know, it was a struggle when he was little, but not so much now. I have not had any supply issues other than an oversupply issue up until recently. I went and saw a lactation consultant on Monday, actually, and she gave me some supplements to take and gave me some tips and information to help get my supply back up. But my supply just like bottomed out of nowhere. But we're thinking it's a combination of I had shingles last month, and then my son's teething, and so he's not latching as well, and he's not pulling the milk as well, and so we're thinking it's a combination of that caused my supply to bottom out like that. But it's getting back up, and
that's great.
Yeah, and I haven't. The last 2 days have been a lot better. I can actually, you know, feel my letdown again, and I'm leaking again, so I know, you know, hey, things are getting back to normal. And when he's nursing, he's not frustrated like he was before, and everything. So I'm pretty sure we're getting back on track where we need to be. But as far as with the IVF, I don't know if, you know, that has had any impact on my supply or not. You know, my reasons for IVF was because I had had my tubes tied, and then there were some issues on my husband's side. So I don't have any medical conditions or anything, I believe, that I know of, you know, that could have contributed to my milk supply. However, I have had mastitis 4 times in 8 months.
Wow.
Which has been really bad.
That is rough.
Yeah. But I'm sticking it out, so.
In some cases, sometimes the reason for a woman needing to go to IVF may be because of hormonal imbalances. So in Alicia's case, there was a physical reason that she'd had a tube tied. So I wouldn't have expected that there would be any particular impact. But a lot of cases, you know, there's a lot of reasons why people need to use IVF or other fertility treatments. And most of those won't have any direct impact on how well they're going to breastfeed. What I was saying is in some cases there may be, depending on the reason for the fertility problem, it may have an impact on the milk supply in either direction. So women who may have reduced fertility due to a high prolactin levels when they're not pregnant, you know, may well find they have a huge oversupply, and that can be a struggle in itself. And things like mastitis can often be a side effect of having a huge oversupply.
Wow, that's really interesting. So what do you think are the common assumptions about IVF, you know, when you're preparing for the baby's birth and hopefully breastfeeding? What do you think the common assumptions are?
Well, I think if for some women, if they've had to go through a lot of IVF treatments before they get a successful pregnancy, if they've had miscarriages, if they've had to try a whole range of different treatment protocols before they get a successful pregnancy, they can lose confidence in their own body and lose confidence. You know, they figure, well, my body can't get pregnant without a whole lot of medical help. Very often there are then interventions around the birth. Certainly with this high rates of cesarean sections and so on for women who've had who've had fertility treatment. And successful breastfeeding to a large extent requires that you can trust your body to be making enough milk for your baby. Because when you're breastfeeding, you can't see how much is going into the baby. And, you know, it's a matter of being able to trust that, you know, that your body can provide enough food for your baby if you feed your baby often enough, that your baby knows, you know, when and how often he needs to feed and for how long. And that trust can be broken in that whole process of struggling to get pregnant. And that lack of trust in your own body can have an impact on how successful you may be at breastfeeding if you don't have, you know, good support to keep going and good information.
Wow. So do you think that lack in confidence is directly related to stress? So if you're lacking confidence, you're feeling stressed out. I can't do this. So
possibly, but I think at the first sign, if there's difficulties, it's not going as well as you thought it was going to do, it can be very easy to say, well, my body couldn't make a baby. My body couldn't give birth to a baby. Why would I assume that my body can make enough milk for my baby? And be very quick to go to kind of medicalized kind of solutions. If you've needed medical professionals to help you get pregnant, to maintain a pregnancy, to give birth, then you're more likely to go to medical people, assuming there's a medical problem. And unfortunately, a lot of our medical professionals, our doctors, our GPs, our obstetricians, aren't really very knowledgeable about normal lactation and how to cope with, you know, what is a normal baby feeding.
Yeah. And that's where our lactation consultants come in.
Absolutely. That's right. And a lot knowing who to ask for that help, whether it is your volunteer counsellor in Australia with the Australian Breastfeeding Association or through La Leche League or to a lactation consultant, so that you get the right information about what is normal baby behaviour and a normal process of lactation.
So it seems like a lot of it's education. And Alicia, you kind of touched upon this, that, you know, you didn't have enough information for the first two babies, but for the last baby, you had a lot of information in regards to breastfeeding and all the different things that you could do. Was that because you had a lactation consultant for the last child, or did you have a lactation consultant for the first two?
I think it's the times. My oldest is 10, my middle child is 7 years old, and, you know, now I have a smartphone right there at my fingertips where I'm parts of groups, Milky Mamas and other groups where, you know, if you need help, there's lactation consultants on there who, you know, give you lots of sound advice. And it's a support group basically. And plus my lactation lady. I mean, she touched on, you know, doctors don't, you know, usually have much information on, breastfeeding and stuff. And it's true. They don't at all. I mean, my doctor didn't even ask me if I was going to breastfeed or not.
But, oh, really?
Yeah. Oh. And I had a cesarean with all three of my children. And so there was that, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this or not, but I was determined to make it happen. And luckily, we have a great lactation consultant in the town I live in. And I can text her anytime I have issues. And she's right there. And she's helped me every step of the way. So I guess just having a big support group.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's so important. So what happens when things don't go quite as planned for IVF moms? We've talked about this a little bit. And breastfeeding obstacles emerge. What steps can IVF moms take to be successful at breastfeeding? We'll be right back. Welcome back. Today we're talking about IVFs and the impact on breastfeeding. Our expert is Jeannie Elliott from the Australian Breastfeeding Association. Thank you, Jeannie, so much for being on. Now, we've talked a little bit already about, you know, obstacles that have occurred for moms that have used IVF and they want to breastfeed and their body confidence going into breastfeeding. So what are some tips IVF moms can use to be successful at breastfeeding?
Well, my tips really apply to any mums. I think it's very easy when you're pregnant to get very focused on, you know, what stage is my baby growing at? How big is my baby? What, you know, how big their fingers are, and focus on the fact of being pregnant and forget to look beyond when you've got a baby and educate yourself as to what is going to be normal baby behaviour. Towards the end of pregnancy, most mums get very focused on what's going to happen around the birth. Is the birth going to go well? Is it going to hurt too much? How am I going to cope? What am I going to do? And it's important to remember that at some, you know, the birth, even if it's a bad one, maybe, you know, 24 hours or 36 hours, there's a whole lot of years beyond that when you've got a baby to look after. And to remember to do some research, not just about the pregnancy and about the birth, but about what is normal baby behaviour, so that when you go home with your baby, you don't get freaked out because you didn't really know what to expect. And whether you've had IVF or not, I think that's a hugely important step to take, to actually look at.
Absolutely.
You know, how does feeding work? How off, you know, what is, or how often is normal for a baby to feed? As a breastfeeding counsellor, I'm always getting calls or emails from mums who, you know, have what is an absolutely normal pattern of feeding for a small baby, but seem to think that their baby's feeding too often or isn't getting enough milk because they want to feed. They, you know, that in the afternoon they want to feed an hour after the last feed, but that can be quite normal behaviour because babies are small. They have small stomach capacity, and we want them to grow fast. They need to be fed often.
Yes, every 2 hours, right? And I remember that.
And sometimes more often.
Yes.
It's quite, you know, cluster feeding for 4 or 5 hours in the afternoon and evening is very normal. And, you know, baby feeds for 20 minutes and 30 minutes later wants to start over. And that can be a very normal pattern. But mums get freaked out.
Yeah, absolutely. Alicia, did that happen to you? Did you find that the feeding pattern was crazy?
You know, I had friends tell me, you need to get him on a schedule. You need to get him on a schedule. But really what I've done is just what works best for my baby and our needs. And I feed on demand, always have from the beginning. And yes, there are days where he cluster feeds and wants to be on the breast all day long. He loves his ninnies. So.
Oh, is that what he calls them?
Yeah. Oh,
that's how you refer to them?
The ninnies. Yeah.
Like the minions.
Yeah. And so, yeah, cluster feeding is a struggle. And it's really hard, you know, especially for new moms. You know, this is my third child. So, you know, you got to just remember those dishes can, you know, they can get washed later. You know, yeah. So they're only a baby for so long. They go through leaps, mental growth spurts, where they need that constant, you know, cluster feeding. And if you can just stick through it, it's really not that bad. And once they're done with that, you're going to miss those times. My son's 8 mm-hmm. months old now, and he doesn't hardly ever have a day where he wants to cluster feed. He's too busy trying to crawl and play with his toys and stuff. And now I miss those days when I just laid on the couch and watched Netflix all day long. And all I did was nurse my baby, you know?
Netflix and breastfeed. That sounds like a meme.
Yep.
But
so what type of support system did you tap into? Jeannie, too. Like, you know, what type of support system should moms be tapping into? We talked about lactation consultants, but what about the family? How do you address these issues with your family to get the support that you need?
The most important support is other mums who are breastfeeding or have breastfed. And, you know, in Australia, I'd be saying join the Australian Breastfeeding Association, use our telephone helpline, use our look at our website for information, come along to our meetings and meet with other mums. If you are surrounded with other mums who are successfully breastfeeding, it's easier to believe that your body can do it. If you're surrounded by other people who have had struggles and have gone to bottle feeding and formula, then it can be very easy to feel like you're weird if you're persevering with breastfeeding.
Absolutely.
And if your mum and your mother-in-law and the lady next door have not breastfed, they're going to be suggesting things that worked for them and may not be the right information for you. So it's important to be discerning about whose advice you accept, whose advice you follow. I mean, certainly accept it, smile and nod and say thanks for your input, but making sure that you're getting reliable information. So, I mean, I know in Australia, the best source of information is going to be the Australian Breastfeeding Association. The Lalesha League in other countries provides that information. Websites like Kelly Mum that are run by lactation consultants are ideal sources of reliable information.
And the Boob Group.
Absolutely.
Because we have people like you on. So, yeah, those are very, very important points that you're making, you know, just, and, you know, think about the internet. Alicia talked about using her smartphone now whenever she needs to find information. You know, that's what moms do now. They just pick up their phone and look, you know, they look on their feed on social media or they might go to, you know, Google or something and try to look something up. But you still have to be very discerning about the information that you're getting.
There's lots of information, but not all of it is reliable and based on good science.
Well, where I'm from, we have a local Facebook group and it's Milky Mamas and it's for breastfeeding mamas and it's backed by lactation consultants, IBLC, and all the information you get off there is a lot of it is stuff that they have found on Kelly Mom. And it's a great support group because my husband's very supportive and my children are supportive, but my family's, they're not big breastfeeders. And, so my main support group has been friends that I know from growing up that breastfeed or, like this group. Where, you know, there's women on there, there's thousands of women on there, and we all just kind of support each other, and when someone's having a bad day, you know, help lift them up and tell them, you know, hey, you're doing a good job, your body knows what you need to do, just trust in that, you know. Mm-hmm.
That's the body confidence, again, trusting your body.
Yeah, you really do, because, I mean, there's days where you doubt, and you think, oh, is this going okay, maybe I'm not making enough. And, you know, a lot of times it's not that you're not making enough. Your body's regulating itself and you're just not as engorged as you're used to being or something. Well, in my case, yeah. Anyways. But support's a big issue. And other than lactation consultants, I would say, you know, look on social media at local groups, you know, if they have, you know, the backing that they need as far as, like, people that know what they're actually talking about. Mm-hmm. And other moms that are breastfeeding. That's a big one.
So now that we've talked about confidence and support, what about nurturing your body? You know, we want moms to eat so that they can produce more milk and we want them to drink lots of water. But what other steps can they can take to nurture their body?
Well, I mean, there's no special diet that's required for breastfeeding. There is no, your body is designed to grow a baby during pregnancy and to keep growing that baby on breast milk. Yes, if you have a healthy diet, then you're going to feel better. You're going to cope better with the broken sleep. You and baby are both going to be healthier. But there's no special foods you have to eat or special foods you have to avoid. And I think if we talk too much about needing to do special stuff or take special vitamins, we make breastfeeding sound like it's too hard, and it's easy. It can be easy once you and your baby have learnt about each other and learned how to get it together.
And what was your diet like, Alicia?
Well, actually, my son has a dairy and soy intolerance, so I do not eat any dairy or any soy, so that I can continue to breastfeed him. But you know, that's not the case with most moms. That just happens to be my case. But I mean, I eat, you know, what I want within those guidelines, of course. And I've lost a lot of weight while breastfeeding, but I mean, there's so many good benefits to it. It makes me feel good too. I mean, if I'm feeling stressed and I nurse my baby, I just automatically feel better afterwards. You know, it releases those oxytocins in your brain and everything.
Yes, so, yes, that's happy. Right.
Yes. I think as far as like nourishing your body and things that are good for you while breastfeeding is, I think a big part of it is your mental capacity, you know, like your mental health, you know, try not to be stressed and overthink everything and just trust in your body and
don't give up.
Yeah.
Right?
And if it's something you're passionate about and determined about, then you can do it, you know, just keep at it.
I think the most important nurturing is the nurturing that Alicia was speaking about of surrounding yourself with other people who are also breastfeeding, who can help each other and keep each other going. I mean, I think it's the mental nurturing is probably more important than the physical nurturing. I think the other thing to be aware of, though, is that by breastfeeding, you have to stop regularly. You need to sit down and or lie down and feed your baby. I mean, yes, it is possible to feed on the go with the baby in the sling, but You don't do that on every feed. And, you know, you can look at it that, you know, this is my chance. I need to sit down. My baby needs a feed. I need to sit down. I need to put Netflix on for half an hour because I need to lie down and feed my baby.
It's like a little mini break in itself because moms are, it's a 24/7 job. And so it's a nice little break when I need to go lay down with my baby and just nurse him and relax and not be up doing a million things for my household, you know?
So these are such great and important points that you both are making. And I'm so glad we had this conversation. And I hope the moms that are listening do get the confidence they need because they know that they're not alone, that other people have gone through this like Alicia and that the moms that you have worked with, Jeannie. Thank you so much to everyone for being part of today's show and for sharing their experience. If you're a member of the Boob Group, then be sure to check out the bonus content for this episode, where we'll discuss how IVF moms can prepare to breastfeed before the baby is born.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
So the next segment is Mama Hacks. And in this segment, we've received lots of great hacks for moms that have breastfed and breast pumped. And this hack comes from Katie from Facebook. She says, "Hi, ladies. I just started listening and I'm really enjoying the series thus far. I do remember hearing in an episode you saying you have listeners send in tips and referred one about utilizing the letdown functions on the pump. I have a tip for moms pumping at work as well. Instead of cleaning my pump parts after each pump at work, I refrigerate them to reduce the time I'm in the pump room. I then only have to clean them once a day. Thanks for the show, ladies." So this is a great tip because you think about how many times you have to go back and forth and wash those pumps. And after each session at work, it's a lot of work. So this is actually a great idea just to put them in the freezer and freeze them up so the milk that's on the pump itself won't spoil.
No, not freezer, in a sealed container in the fridge.
That's yes. What I was going to say. I'm so glad you yes. said sealed container because I'm thinking, oh my gosh, if she's like in, you know, regular, you know, just let's just say there's one big fridge for everyone.
And but at home as well, mums that are pumping, you know, lots of times a day at home as well, if they're building the milk supply or they've got a preemie baby, the same thing applies that they, you know, rinse the milk off, refrigerate it and do a full clean once every 24 hours.
Okay. So you still have to rinse it off with some water, stick it in like some sort of Ziploc bag
kind of thing? That's my understanding. Okay. That you'd rinse it, put it in a sealed container in the fridge and you only have to do that full clean once every 24 hours.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I bet that saves a lot of time.
Yes, right. For women who are pumping frequently, yes, it can save a huge amount of time.
I've been pumping a lot trying to get my supply back up. And yeah, washing pump parts.
It's a lot of work.
Once a day is enough for me.
That's why I often also talk to mums about, you know, if you've been told to pump to build your supply, it can be a whole lot easier just putting the baby to the breast more often. If you're with, you know, if your baby's at home with you and you're at home with your baby, putting your baby to the breast more often is a whole lot easier than having to clean the pump and has the same effect.
Amen, sister.
Amen, sister. So that wraps up our show for today. Thanks for listening to the Boo Group. Don't forget to check out our sister show, Preggy Pals for Expecting Parents, Newbies for Newly Postpartum Moms, Parent Savers for Moms and Dads with Toddlers, and Twin Talks for Parents of Multiples. This is the Boob Group, where moms know breast.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
How would you like to have your own show on the New Mommy Media Network? We're expanding our lineup and looking for great content. If you're a business or organization interested in learning more about our co-branded podcasts, visit our website at newmommymedia.com. Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.